please play.
You can bet in play on every point, in every game, in every set of every singles match at Wimbledon 2015 with William Hill. Hear it all on In Play Radio, live from noon every day of Wimbledon 2015.
Hello everyone, a warm welcome to the Wimbledon Tennis Podcast. Dave Kellner here in the studio. And Nick Lester from Radio Wimbledon on the line to look ahead to the quarterfinals of Wimbledon 2015. It has been an exceptional championship so far, and we hope to enjoy this second week at Wimbledon as well. First of all, it's a warm welcome to Mr. Nick Lester. Good morning, Nick.
Good morning, Dave. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Have you enjoyed the championship so far?
I really have. Certainly the first week, especially with Dustin Brown and the Heather Watson stories. Obviously, I think Wednesday, Thursday kind of almost peaked, really, didn't it? And then, yeah, I mean, there's been plenty of good stories in week number one, and I just hope the second week kind of continues rolling, really.
Let's get stuck in then, because we've got eight matches to look at. One of them a continuation of a fourth round match, which was suspended due to darkness last night. Novak Djokovic versus Kevin Anderson first up. Nick, 1-6 Novak Djokovic, Kevin Anderson in the market at 7-2, two sets all. Anderson took the first two sets in breakers, and then, as great champions do, Nick, Djokovic bounced back, winning sets 3 and 4. How do you see the fifth set materialising?
Well, I think Djokovic, first of all, will be disappointed to have had to come off. Obviously, I think he'll have certainly had to accept the situation because of the darkness. I did think there was a possibility they might move it across to centre with the roof obviously being in play there. They probably could have got it done. But I think the official ruling on that is that certainly it happened on Saturday night, but that was because obviously there was a day off. They didn't want to come back on Sunday. And they've put it back on court number one today, which is interesting. You know, I was just looking through some of the numbers. Three times in his career, Djokovic has come back from two sets to love down. And the last time he did it, that was at the French Open in 2012, and that was against Seppi. I think this is a slightly different scenario out here today. Obviously, I think the players that he's been able to do that against, he beat Federer, in fact, from two sets down at the US Open and a couple of years ago. Obviously, so that's a different kettle of fish. But I think... it's tough to say. I mean, it's now on grass. On grass, obviously, things can get away pretty quickly. So it becomes almost, in many ways, a very important. The first kind of 15 minutes become critical, because if anyone loses serve early on, then they're in trouble. I do slightly worry that Djokovic has just got a feel now of the return game, you know, in terms of just being able to get Anderson's serve back into play. Anderson obviously has a very, very big serve. I must admit, hands on heart, I didn't see this one being quite as close as it would be. But again, I think that underlines how much Anderson's improved under the coaching of Neville Godwin in the last couple of years. He's really got his man focused on what he needs to do well to succeed, and being his aggressive game style and being able to impose himself in that regard. So to answer your question directly, I probably got a feel with Djokovic. I mean, you just feel he's got the run going now. He's been able to read his game a bit better than he was in the first couple of sets. Anderson, to be fair to him, in the past has had some pretty heartbreaking defeats. He should have beaten Nadal this year at the US Open. There's been numerous matches in the past where he's had his man down and out and hasn't been able to convert. So I think from his perspective as well, I certainly don't think he'll lay down out here. I think he's probably learnt a bit from those defeats. But I could well see this being something like a 7-5, maybe just a one break, a 6-4 in the end for Djokovic, perhaps coming right at the end of the set.
Is this an indicator of what's to come in the rest of the tournament for Novak Djokovic? Do you see him struggling in future rounds, or is this a one-off?
I think it's probably a one-off, to be honest, certainly as this match goes. I mean, as I say, Kevin Anderson's improved a heck of a lot, yes, Dave, in the last year. I mean, he really has full credit to him. He's a perfectionist, is Kevin. He really is. And, you know, he'll be the first to admit that at times he's been very hard on himself in his career, because perhaps when things haven't gone his way, he's kind of just overthought it a little bit. But he's got a good coach with him. Neville Godwin was a tour player. I know Neville very well, and I know they've worked really hard together on trying to make the improvements in his game. So I think you have to look at this match and probably say that on this surface, on a grass court, where Anderson's been in good form, you know, he's been able to trouble Djokovic. And I think that's in many ways an indicator of how much Anderson's improved, perhaps as to looking at the other side of the coin and saying, well, Djokovic hasn't quite been on his game. And I think you have to probably respect the way Kevin's come out there and played.
We'll talk about the men's quarterfinals very shortly, those taking place on Wednesday. But first, we've got Tuesday's quarterfinals in the ladies' Wimbledon singles, and we start off with Maria Sharapova versus Coco Vandeweghe. Sharapova 1-5 to win this match, Vandeweghe 7-2. Sharapova, straight sets wins in all her rounds so far, beat Zarina Diaz in the round of 16. Coco Vandeweghe also comes through in straight sets, and she knocked out Lucy Safarova in the last round, 7-6, 7-6. I've been impressed with Vandeweghe this first week, Nick. She's looked very strong, big serve as well.
Well, big first and second serve, and that's the key, Dave. Look at some of her numbers for these championships. She's winning over 50% of points on her second serve in particular, and that's where she's so effective. She hits big off the ground. Took a long time to come through, and in fact, she was in a very bad place about 7-8 weeks ago. In fact, I spoke to her agent about 7 or 8 weeks ago, and he was telling me that she was just changing coaches. She was all over the shop before the French Open. She was worried about defending points for a big event coming up in Holland. She didn't do that, but is now much more relaxed. Grass court player through and through, really suits this surface. The height that the ball comes through really works for her, and she's able to come forwards and be aggressive and take the match out of your hands. You know, that's what you've got to do on a grass court. You've got to be able to hit big, and you've got to be able to stand up to the ball and take it early. And if you can do that in the women's game, you're going to have success. And boy, she played well yesterday. I saw some of that match. She looked good, looked very sharp. And is confident, very, very confident. And for me, that's why I think here 1-5 is too short in Sharapova. I couldn't be backing Sharapova at 1-5 here, Dave. I don't think she's really had a test in the shape of Coco Vandeweghe, who's going to come at her. I'd be looking more from a betting perspective here at the tight couple of sets. I do think Sharapova will win because primarily I think experience will count here. I think Vandeweghe, obviously being on centre court, I think it must be for the first time in her career, is going to play into Sharapova's hands. But I think this could be something like a 7-5, 6-4. You know, a couple of very, very close sets, maybe even a tiebreak in there, Dave. I'm going with Sharapova, but I certainly wouldn't be on her at 1-5. I'd be looking at maybe the overs, possibly on the games, getting in Vandeweghe, possibly having a look at maybe even sneaking a set. But I think there's some value certainly in Vandeweghe keeping this close.
A couple of bets that tie in with what you've just said, Nick. You can bet three sets 19-10, and over 21.5 games is 5-6 here with William Hill as well.
Yeah, because I think you've got to bear in mind that there's probably not going to be that many breaks of serve. I mean, certainly from... I mean, I think Sharapova is not going to be able to break Coco Vandeweghe that often, but I actually think Vandeweghe might be able to get on the second serve of Sharapova, especially if it's a bit windy, which it might be today. It's not all that nice out there today. It's a bit windy, a bit tricky, so I think that could favour Coco Vandeweghe. So, I think possibly the three sets, 19-10, might well be worth a little look.
Okay, then let's have a look at Garbiñ Muguruza versus Timea Bacsinszky. Garbiñ Muguruza in the market at 8-11. Timea Bacsinszky is an 11-10 shot. So pretty tight as far as the betting is concerned here, Nick. Garbiñ Muguruza, big performance to come past Caroline Wozniacki in the previous round, winning 6-4, 6-4. And Timea Bacsinszky, once again, Nick, showed her steel against Monica Niculescu, losing that first set 6-1, but then bouncing back to win 7-5, 6-2 in the second and third. And that's what she's got, Bacsinszky, Nick. She's got an inner steel that you can't really quantify.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, playing Monica Niculescu is an absolute nightmare for anyone, to be honest, because the way she plays, I mean, she has the most unorthodox, unusual, awkward style of anyone on the women's tour. She hits predominantly slice forehands. She gives you absolutely no rhythm whatsoever. So I didn't actually see that match, but looking at the scoreline, you can completely understand how that panned out, because she just spins her web in the opening set, and then by the time you've realised actually you can work out a way of how you're going to beat her, you can do it. And as you're right, fair play to Bacsinszky for being able to do that. What a fantastic year she's had. I mean, 15th ranked player in the world now, will be very close to the world's top 10 after this particular week as well. And again, a battle in many ways of probably one of the best backhands on the women's tour. Bacsinszky has probably the best two-hander, I think, certainly right up there on the women's game. And Muguruza, who probably has a little more firepower in every department from the back of the court, probably not necessarily off the backhand, but certainly off the forehand. I think she probably is able to move a little bit better. And a woman, I think, in Muguruza, who's got her head round playing on grass courts. She perhaps, a couple of years ago, like so many of these players from Spain, from South America, they come to the grass court season, they don't necessarily think they can play on the surface. They struggle to get their head around the fact that it's grass and they have to adapt. And now I think with a couple of good wins, she's finally been able to do that. I've been very impressed with Muguruza. I think that win over Kerber in the third round was a fantastic one. Kerber doesn't give anything away. And for Muguruza to beat her There was an excellent win. I watched the match with Wozniacki yesterday. Certainly the first set, she was excellent. That's why I'm just leaning towards Muguruza here. She has a big game. She's a very tall girl. She can impose herself out here. I think she might get the better of Bezhinsky. She's beaten her once already as well. That came earlier in the year at the Australian Open, 6-love in the third. I just think she has a little more weight of shots overall on a grass court, which could play in her favour, especially today where I think it's going to be cooler. It's a little heavier out there, and I think that will require a player to hit through the surface a bit more, and that's why I'd probably just lean with Muguruza, maybe in two close sets.
Muguruza in straight sets. Muguruza 2-0 in the betting at 7-4. Here with William Hill. Our third match on court today is Serena Williams versus Victoria Azarenka. Serena Williams 1-4, Victoria Azarenka 3-1. Undoubtedly, Nick, in my mind, the standout of the four quarterfinals on offer at SW19 today. And Serena Williams came past her sister Venus Williams in the previous round, winning 6-4, 6-3. And Victoria Azarenka not dropped a set in the championship so far, and beat the impressive Belinda Bencic, the youngster, 6-2, 6-3 in that round of 16. We'll get stuck into this match in a few moments' time and talk about the matchup, Nick. But first of all, a word about Heather Watson, because she had a chance to knock Serena Williams out in the round prior to the last 16 and didn't quite get it done. Talk about her performance, Nick.
Yeah, I mean, Heather's improved a lot. I mean, in so many different ways. I think the serve has improved a lot. I think her serve is a lot less attackable now than it was a few years ago. I think certainly the second serve in particular. Her movement, for me, was what stood out above anything else. I mean, she was hustling balls back into play like, you know, some players, in terms of her ability to dig balls back, her defensive positions coming back, slicing the ball back, hustling. It was outstanding. I mean, I've not seen Heather move that well probably ever, in particular on a grass court. And she went toe-to-toe with Serena. And I think if you look at the match as a whole, you know, it's so often when the players ranked a little lower face the big seeds, the top two or three seeds, they really struggle to deal with the pace initially. And that was certainly the case for Heather Watson, who couldn't cope with the amount of pace coming at her. But when she adjusted to that, then I think she was excellent. Obviously, she was able to live with Serena for a long while. And I think it's one of those matches where I certainly hope she doesn't take it too badly, because she has to look at the positives from that, Dave. And she knows now that she can live with these players when she's playing her best tennis. She has the ability to hang in there. She's got to keep it going. She can't rest on her laurels. But I don't think it's, you know, there's two ways of looking at it. It's glass half empty or glass half full. And I think it's very much a glass half full scenario. I think she should have a good summer going forwards. And again, I go back to her coaching situation, but Diego Veronelli has done a great job with her. He's got her very disciplined. You know, there were times when Heather perhaps wasn't quite willing to put the work in always. And Diego Veronelli's a no-nonsense sort of guy. He's not stood for that, and I think he's got her channeled in the right direction, and she's got to keep it rolling, though. You know, it's tough. Her ranking's going to stay around 40, 45, so it's not going to move up that much, so she's got to keep it going. But, you know, certainly a lot of improvements being made. There's no doubt of that.
Let's talk about this matchup then. Serena Williams 1-4, Victoria Azarenka 3-1 here with William Hill. Met 19 times before, Nick, and Victoria Azarenka won just three of those meetings, and an overwhelming statistic here. Serena Williams not dropped a set on the grass against Victoria Azarenka either. What does Azarenka need to do to get into this matchup?
Well, I mean, when they play, it's generally the same sort of story. There's not a lot of nuances in these two players' tennis. It's all about being able to get the first strike in, being able to push your opponent off the court. It's going to be some very hard hitting, as we know. Azarenka's backhand is world class. If she can use that weapon to good effect, she's got a good shot. I mean, you look through some of the numbers of Azarenka's run so far this week, she's been mightily impressive. I mean, you mentioned the wins she's had. She's beaten some very good players here. Bencic in the previous round, Mladenovic in the third round, Flipkins, who made the semifinals here a couple of years ago. She beat her 3-3 in the second round. Now, if you delve a little deeper into some of the stats from Azarenka, yesterday was outstanding. 29 winners and just 8 unforced errors for Azarenka yesterday against Belinda Bencic, who's one of the best grass court players around. So that all points in the direction that she's playing some very, very good tennis, which again points to me that we could well have a very good match out here. I think the market, in terms of from a betting perspective, for me would be leaning towards three sets. These two, Azarenka is back I think, playing some of the best tennis again from where she was a couple of years ago. I give her a real shot today. I'm not quite sure I'll be backing her to win the match, but I think, again, from a betting perspective, I'll be looking at this one going the distance. Grass has not always been her favourite surface, Azarenka, not always been her most effective surface, but I think if she can certainly keep it close in the opening set, I can certainly see Azarenka making this close. She's definitely creeping back up the rankings to where she was, as I say, a while ago. So I think looking at perhaps the overs in the game scenario, that sort of thing. I mean, every meeting they've had, Dave, in the past four or five have all been close. They've all been three or four sets. So I think, you know, you've got to look at their head-to-heads. There's very little to choose between these two players. Yes, I think you've got to go with Serena overall on a grass court. But again, when I'm laying my money down here, I'm looking at a close match. For me, probably going the distance.
Yeah, and like you mentioned, when you're talking about the odds, 1-4 is very short on Serena. You can back over 21.5 games, which is 5-6, and three sets in the match, 19-10. So those two prices, yeah, mimicking those prices we talked about in the Sharapova-Van der Veer match. So maybe some value there.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to remember, she had match points against her in Madrid, in Rome, in the French Open. She was two love up in the third, dominating her. Now, I know it's a clay court, and Serena gets obviously a lot more free points off her serve out here. But I think certainly Azarenka is going to keep this tight for me. I think she's going to keep it close. I don't think this is going to be a runaway victory.
We finish off the look at the ladies with Madison Keys versus Agnieszka Radwańska. Madison Keys is 7-4. Agnieszka Radwańska is in the market at 4-9. You talk about contrast in styles, Nick. This is a stark contrast. You've got the bruiser in Madison Keys, who's going to hit everything at 100% from the back of the court, against the nuances of Agnieszka Radwańska's game. It's going to be an interesting battle, this one.
It is. I like Radwańska here a lot. I did see about half of her match yesterday. And again, I thought she looked very good against Jelena Jankovic. Jankovic didn't play badly yesterday at all. But I thought Radwańska looked to be right on the money in a season coming into the grass where she has been dreadful this year, Radwańska. She's been all at sea. Her ranking's taken a dive. I really feel like she's got her mojo back at the moment, Radwańska, out here. And I think she could make it very difficult for Madison Keys in this match. She leads the head-to-head 3-0. She dominated her in the two of the three meetings. One of those coming in Beijing and a couple of years ago, where she won 3-2. At Wimbledon they played, where she won 6-3 in the third in 2013. I think she's moving well again. She enjoys the extra bit of pace that comes at her on a grass court. She loves redirecting pace, as we know. Now, on the flip side of the coin, you could well argue, well, if there's been one downfall of Radwańska's career, it's been against the players who have been able to hit big and hit through her. And I totally hear that. I really hear that. But I just feel that Keys still perhaps lacks that real big match experience at this stage of a major. That's something that you can't buy, and Radwańska's got that in bundles. And I just feel that she's going to be able to get the serve back again. If you go through her unforced error count over the course of the last three or four matches, it's minimal. I think she's made something like 15 unforced errors in three matches. So she's not giving anything away. You know, she's being able to keep balls back in play. We know that she uses the slice. She's going to put, I think, Keys in difficult spots. I think Radwańska's a strong one here. I do. I think of the four matches, okay, everything I've heard about Radwańska and seen this week suggests that she could be my bet of the day here. So I think I'd be on her maybe in two close sets.
Agnieszka Radwańska to win it 2-0 in the market at 11-10 here with William Hill. Let's move on to the men's side then. Three quarterfinals to take a look at. And we'll start with Stan Wawrinka versus Richard Gasquet. Stan Wawrinka 4-9, Richard Gasquet 7-4. A good performance from Wawrinka to come past Goffin, who was really rolling at these championships. Beat him in three straight sets. Admittedly, the first two were tight sets. Gasquet came past Nick Kyrgios in four sets. What about Kyrgios in this championship, Nick? Because he's dominated in terms of column inches throughout the first 7 or 8 days at Wimbledon.
Yeah, I was there on court two yesterday for the whole match. I was reporting on it, and you know, it's a tough one. I mean, there's so many ways to look at this. I still think you have to remember he's 20 years of age. People will say, oh, well, you know, Federer and Murray, these guys grew up at 20, 21. They weren't doing this. He's a different personality. He's a different personality. He's got to grow up. There's no doubt about that. He's got to grow up. He's got to mature. He's got to learn to hang in there and fight. And when things aren't going his way, he's got to learn to compete. That's what he's got to learn to do in difficult situations, because in the second set yesterday against Gasquet, he didn't show up. He went four love down in 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and didn't even bother. And there was a lot of, obviously, controversy around that. But ultimately, he's got to mature. That's what he's got to do. And he needs people around him who are going to help him with that. It's all very well him saying, this is who I am. This is who I am. I'm not going to change. This is my personality. That's fine. But is that going to win him majors? At the moment, no, it's not. And it's not going to... It might win him fans. It might win him friends. It might win him a cult following, if you like, that he has at the moment. But it's not going to win him majors, because it's not good enough. And in a best of seven matches and five sets, you've got to hang in there. You've got to fight all the way. And he didn't do that yesterday against Gasquet, and that cost him a heavy price. I think he struggled a little bit as well with all the attention. I mean, I was in the press conference as well yesterday, and he was taking it pretty rough from some of the guys, and I think he'll learn. McEnroe said it pretty well, I thought, yesterday, actually, when he said, listen, you know, he'll wake up this morning and have some regrets. And I think as long as you learn from that and you have some people around you, good people around you, and you're willing to learn and take it in, that's important. But if you're talking about his tennis, Dave, and his game, he's got everything. He's got everything. The guy's a genius. I'm telling you, the guy's a Grand Slam winner if he can grow up and get it together. He may well be a maverick character. Maybe we'll never see the best of him because of the personality he is. But it shouldn't be remembered, he's only really been a year on tour. This has been his first year on tour. I think if we're still having this conversation in a year's time, then I think we've got a bit of a concern. But I think it's certainly going to be an interesting period for him. And I hope he can bring his best tennis, because he is good for the game.
As far as this matchup is concerned, Wawrinka versus Gasquet should be a cracking encounter. Two of the best backhands in the game, Nick. Aesthetically pleasing, I think, these two backhands. And I'm surprised they've not met more often on tour. Been on tour around about 10 years and only met twice. Once in the Paris Masters way back in 2006, which you can disregard. Then they had that cracker in the French Open in 2013, which Stan Wawrinka won 8-6 in the fifth. I'm looking forward to this match.
Yeah, me too. Stan has obviously played very well, the backup, the win at the French. In some ways, you kind of feel he's just riding the confidence wave, isn't he? It's been one of those situations where, I think, to be honest, his first couple of matches here weren't good. He didn't play well in the first couple of matches, but he just got through by having that sheer bank of belief that he has right now, that he's better than everyone else. And in some ways, yesterday, again, I didn't see the match with Goffin, but everything I hear about it was strong. Goffin's been playing very well at this tournament so far. He certainly didn't give it away, and Stan had to earn it. So that was bodes well for him. Gasquet, from his perspective, loves playing on grass courts. You know, his game is conducive to grass. I think it gives him a bit extra pace as well. He's able to use the backhand to good effect because he's able to slide it off the side of the court. His slice is good. It adds a bit more to his serve. He's got a very low bouncing serve. Gasquet spins through very low, so that helps him on a grass court as well. Difficult one to call, this one, I must say. It's tough to look away from Stan. I think you talk about the two backhands. For me, I'd take Stan's all day long, I think, over Gasquet, because as good as Gasquet is, he still has to hit it from some tough positions in the court. He still asks a lot of himself. Mm. But Stan actually hits his from an aggressive position. He moves forward onto it, and he punishes you with it. Gasquet at times kind of stings you with his when at least you think it's coming, whereas Wawrinka's is a much more consistent, regular shot. He's able to hit it up the court. He takes it early. He doesn't rely on being 15 feet behind the baseline to hit it. That's where I think Wawrinka is able to perhaps just get a little more. I think in the serve department, we talk about how well, obviously, Gasquet serves on this surface. Well, you know, Wawrinka's got a big serve nowadays. And again, with the French, we saw that. He was able to take it out of his hands. So I think you've probably got to go with Stan here. I think, you know, given his confidence, the way he's played, he made the quarters here last year, shouldn't be forgotten. Gave Federer a tough match in the quarterfinals. So I'm going to lean with Wawrinka in this one. I think probably over four sets, maybe. I just think with Gasquet's position, court position hasn't really changed over the years as well as he played yesterday. He's still going to be 10 feet behind the baseline, I think, and that's still going to allow Stan some time to use his game, set up the shots that he wants to hit. So I think you've got to go with Wawrinka. I'd probably be looking at maybe a four-set win here for the Swiss.
Stan Wawrinka to win it 3-1 in the market at 5-2 here with William Hill. Gilles Simon versus Roger Federer next. Gilles Simon 6-1, Roger Federer 1-10. Simon, perhaps the surprise package of the tournament so far. Came through in straight sets against Thomas Burdick, big scalp for Gilles Simon in the round of 16. Federer has looked pretty sublime, really. Just dropped the one set to Samuel Groth in the last 32, but came past Roberto Bautista Agut in straight sets. Comprehensive victory for Federer in the previous round. These two have actually had some good tussles in slams in the past, Nick. At the Aussie Open back in 2011 and at the French Open in 2013. A couple of five-setters on their resumes in slams against each other.
Yeah, and you can see why, because Simon is just at times a nightmare to play. I mean, he's just a nightmare of a guy, just in terms of the way he plays. He soaks up the pace, he'll make you miss, he'll sit back, he'll make life awkward. He hits a very low, flat ball, serves okay. Best competitor of the French by a country mile, for my money. I mean, we talk so often about the French being at times a little light in the heart department, don't often compete as well as the others. Well, he's not in that department at all, Gilles. And the second major quarterfinal for him, first was 2009. And, you know, 2008, 2009 were his best years, Dave. He made the Shanghai Masters, the World Tour Finals that were then played in Shanghai. I think he made the semis or the final there that year. And then he got injured. Had a really bad knee injury for about two or three years, kept him off the game. And this is a guy who is solely reliant in many ways on his movement. So if he's got a knee injury, that's going to keep him, you know, that's going to take away what he does well. So I've really enjoyed watching Simon play over the years. Some people find him a little dull to watch, but he had a good record over Burdick. It wasn't a huge surprise that he beat Burdick. I think he led him 6-4 coming into that match. Again, we go back to the grass court situation, don't we, here? This is the problem for Simon now, because I watched Federer's match yesterday with Bautista Agut, and he was awesome yesterday, Federer. He was absolutely awesome yesterday. I mean, goodness me. The variety on show. He was chip-charging, coming in, making life awkward. And as much as we talk about the head-to-head here being close, I'm just struggling on a surface on grass to make a case for Simon out here. I really am. It's going to be a completely different matchup on this surface. Federer's using the slice a lot. Simon's going to be asked to hit passing shots right from the off. He's not going to be able to spin his web from the back of the court. I don't think he's beaten players like Burdick by just outmaneuvering them from the baseline. It's not going to be the case with Federer. Federer's going to chip charge, come in, serve and volley. It's going to be a different matchup here. I'm struggling to make Simon any kind of give him a set in this one. I really am, especially having seen the way Federer played yesterday. Again, I hear the head-to-head. I hear how close it's been over the last few years, but not on a grass court, and that's a different situation. Federer served well. I don't think Federer hasn't lost serve at this tournament so far, and I read a stat yesterday saying he hasn't lost serve since the first round of Halle, and that was three weeks ago. So, again, underlining how well Federer's serving. On this surface, Dave, I'm not giving Simon much of a shout here. I think Federer 3-0 for me.
Federer to win 3-0 is 8-13. I think this is 45 Grand Slam quarterfinals for Roger Federer. That's astounding, isn't it?
Yeah, the one behind him is Connors, and he was on 41. So that gives you an idea of this guy's longevity.
Roger Federer to win in straight sets. And we finish off with Vasek Pospisil versus Andy Murray. Andy Murray, as you would expect here, Nick, an overwhelming favourite. 1-20 he is to beat Vasek Pospisil, who is in the market at 9-1. We talked in depth about Andy Murray's draw pre-tournament. It's opened up a little bit, hasn't it? He'll still, in all likelihood, have to beat Federer and Djokovic to win the title, but maybe not as difficult for the first 10 days as he might have imagined.
No, I would agree. I mean, to be fair, he had to be dialed in against Karlovic, didn't he? That was a difficult one. Ivo obviously serving great, playing well at 36 years of age, still being able to hit the ball pretty well from the back of the court, considering how he was 5 or 6 years ago when he was really struggling there. But obviously Nadal going out helped him. Dustin Brown did him a pretty big favour there. And then, to be fair, I mean, Pospisil, I think, did him a favour yesterday as well, because I think probably if you'd have asked Murray, he'd probably rather have played Pospisil than Troitsky. Troitsky's got a bit more big match experience, I think, as far as going at this stage of a major. He certainly played some big Davis Cup ties in the past. Posh Basile's now played 19 sets of singles and I think 14 sets of doubles. And he played 10 alone yesterday, yeah. Posh Basile.
Unbelievable.
Not only did he play five sets of singles, he played five sets of doubles. Now, he's a fit guy, but there's only so much the body can take. And that was pretty brutal. I must say, I'm delighted for Vasek Pospisil because he's a great guy. He's an extremely hard worker. I know his coach very well, Freddie Fong-Tang. And those two have worked really hard. And Vasek, he's pretty tough on himself at times. But he's got a good game. I've always enjoyed his game. He's got a good serve. The serve has been fantastic this week. It's really laid the platform for him. Big second serve as well, tough to attack, and the forehand's good as well, and he's a great mover. So I think for him, he's had a couple of injuries in the last year again, which has just kept him on the sidelines, not been able to get it going. He's had a few tough losses. But I'm pleased for Posh Basile. But I think to answer your question directly about Murray, yeah, I think he will be pretty pleased with the draw, the way it's opened up. I don't think he's had any... Obviously, the Karlovic match was a stern test, but I think the Seppi match on Saturday evening was... I was comfortable, despite the fact he lost a set. He was never really, I don't think, in any doubts, but a little bit of a shoulder problem for him that got under, that hurt him a little bit. But I think Murray will be very happy with the way he's played so far.
Yeah. Andy Murray to win in straight sets then, Nick, do you think he has
3-0? I think so, Dave. I just think physically it's going to be so difficult for Posh Basile to come back now. And again, he's never played a major quarterfinal. He's going to be on centre court. All these add these things up and the experience comes into play. And I actually think it's a good matchup for Murray. What does Murray do well? We talk about it so often. He's the best returner in the game. Best returner in the game, he and Djokovic by a distance. And that plays into his hands because Posh Basile's got a great serve. Murray's going to put him back, make it awkward. If he serve volleys, which I suspect he will, he's going to put it on his feet. He's going to have a lot of tough volleys. And bearing in mind, he's already exhausted himself, I would suspect, in the first 10 days. It's very hard to make a case of Posh Basile to get a set here. I think Murray to win in three fairly comfortable sets.
Have you seen any negatives with Andy Murray and his game this week yet?
No, not really. I mean, obviously, the shoulder was a bit of a concern. I think, obviously, against Seppi when he called the trainer out, especially when he got a little stiff. But I think he's in such a good place, Dave. We said this before the start of the tournament. And the hunger's there, isn't it? You can see the burning hunger that's back there again that perhaps wasn't there a year ago when he lost to Dimitrov. That real... It's so hard to really put your finger on it with Murray, but he's in such a good place at the moment. And you just see, you can feel that roar when he broke at the end of the set yesterday against Karlovic. The mojo is firmly in place with Murray right now. And it's going to be fascinating if he faces Federer in the semis. It really is from Federer's perspective as well, to see how he comes at him. Because it's going to be attack against Murray's defence at times, and we'll see. But I do think it's going to be a Federer-Murray semi-final.
Yeah, fingers crossed we get there. Federer versus Murray in the semi is something to certainly look forward to. Nick, just before we leave you, we've got to this point in the podcast and we've not talked about Rafael Nadal, and he should have been, in inverted commas, playing Andy Murray on Wednesday in that quarterfinal. Rafael Nadal knocked out by Dustin Brown. You mentioned Dustin Brown at the start of the podcast. His performance exceptional, but the questions once again arrive about Rafael Nadal and his well-being, and looking forward, maybe his ability to get back to the top of the game.
Yeah, and I think he'll probably play a couple of clay court events, Dave, in the next couple of weeks to try and get some winning feeling back in his game. There's 3 or 4 weeks of clay court tennis coming up. I wouldn't be surprised if he went to play Hamburg or Busch-Stadt or one of those events. He needs to get winning again. You can't in this sport, as obvious a thing as it is to say, nothing beats confidence, and Nadal doesn't have it right now. And he was broken after that defeat by Brown. He was in that press conference. He looked desolate at times. And I felt for him in that regard. That was a tough one. I've said to you on a number of occasions, don't write him off. Don't. Let's not send him to the knacker's yard just yet. He's not done. I'm telling you, this guy. He's got some game left in him, and I hope we'll see him back at the top pretty soon.
Me too. Thank you for those previews of those quarterfinals, Nick, and we'll catch up as the tournament moves through the semis.
Pleasure, Dave.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.